SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line. We are live right here on Sports Grid on a Friday morning. What could very well be a tense 2 hours. I'm not sure. I'm not going to dictate that. Really, it's up to old DRS. Kevin Walsh, it's Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how do you feel here on a Friday morning?
Yeah, I'm pretty upset at Nick Castellanos. I don't know about you, but that's what we paid attention to in Philadelphia last night,
even though
they won.
You mean to tell me, of all the Philly athletes that are going to catch your eye for bad performances, Nick Castellanos catches the eye?
I mean, get a base hit, kid. You're facing a lefty. You eat lefties up. You go 0 for 5 in a game where every other player on your team gets a base hit but you. That's the big story. That's the lead today, not the NBA.
Man, the top headline there, man. What? The Phillies won, though, huh? All right. Can we get to the other Philly sports story? So, you know what? I guess you're right. This isn't a Philly sports story. Forget them. The Miami Heat, 99-90. Eliminate the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. The playoff MVP continues to dominate this postseason. Jimmy Butler, 32-8, and does ask a tremendous question going into the locker room after the game. Tobias Harris over me? Jimmy Butler was fantastic. James Harden didn't show up as I told you. And the 76ers can't blame this one on Ben Simmons, though you might try, Donnie.
Oh, they can. You can blame it on Ben Simmons because the simple fact is Jimmy Butler couldn't get along with Ben Simmons or Brett Brown. So what does the Sixers organization do? Say, well, we have a terrible head basketball coach and a guy that whimpers in the biggest moments. Let's get rid of the one guy who has that playoff dog in him and send him away where we're not going to choose him. So you saw Jimmy Butler leaving the court last night, and what did he say? Ah! He chose Tobias Harris over me, and he's right.
I'd say, man, a lot of guys on Miami stepped up. Gabe Vincent, 11 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 9. That was James Harden's numbers. Thanks for nothing. Imagine if James Harden can start to play. Nope. Didn't happen. 11. Donnie, did nobody tell him the season was on the line? Yeah, I know there's 7 other headlines. I don't care. Did nobody tell Harden the season was on the line, Donnie? Top 25 player in the NBA. In what planet? Oh, is this good enough for you, though? Are you happy with this performance from Harden?
Look, mental health is big in the NBA. We talk about it with Ben Simmons, also changed. You know how hard it is, Kevin, to move? Look, you're probably going through a little bit of this now. Moving from the Big Apple into another state or another area. Like, you should feel for James Harden and how tough these transitions are going into it. I mean, be a human being for once, Kevin.
That's some move.
You're trying to make friends on a new team? I mean, that's hard. You ever transfer schools in the middle of the year? It's hard to make friends on a new team. Let's settle in.
I'll tell you this. He's not going to be making friends with Joel Embiid. But we'll get there. You know what? We'll get there. Let me ease up. We got a lot of time here over these 2 hours. How about over in Dallas? I mean, listen. Can they play Game 7 on Mars or something here? I mean, please. Like, enough of that. I mean, what is going on here? Like, it really matters. I get home court matters. I mean, it's just completely two different basketball teams show up to the arenas depending on the location. The radio audience here, we're live on Friday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159, the early line. Dallas, 113-86. They absolutely rolled this team, DRS. They rolled this team, DRS.
I mean, they did pound them here. And a little bit later in the show, as we wind up a little listen up, we want to appreciate the greatness of Luka Doncic because every single, hey, let's focus on stopping Luka. Good luck with that. He does whatever he wants on the basketball court. But you're right, playing it on Mars. How do you bet Game 7? Ooh, Dallas has a lot of momentum. They're more likely to get beat in Game 7, 113-86 themselves. I don't get it either.
Yes. Like, in a weird way, obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20. What an easy series to bet. Where's the game? Got it good. That's who I like. I mean, that's just, but it's by a lot. They just lost by 30. and then return the favor. How about by 27? Man, Donnie, I sit here now, fine comb through these final scores, make sure I don't have another nightmare situation like I did the other day where I said a team won by, I don't even know what I said they won by.
Yeah.
They won by, oh yeah, it was when Miami won by
like
30.
The teams are getting beat so bad, you're not even used to adding up the numbers of how much they lost by. That's craziness.
I gotta use calculators to figure out these final scores, man. I mean, things are getting out of control here in the NBA. Now, today, we don't got a lot of time left here, but Donnie, the NFL schedule release. The Rams open up with the Bills. I mean, were people losing their minds? Was it a great day in NFL history to find out it's Rams-Bills to open it up?
I'm not going to tell you. Like, maybe the NFL always thinks they are king, and their ratings were probably good. But I'm going to say, why don't you just have a noon release of the schedule? Because everybody is focused in on, I don't know, unbelievable hockey games, unbelievable NBA games, what we thought they would at least be, and baseball games. NFL, get it together, man. Nobody paid attention to your schedule release last night. At least a little bit, maybe we did. I don't know.
I don't know. We paid attention to the Pop-Tart comparison tweets. I mean, those were true.
That's horrible. We need to go over some of those. Yeah. A lot of people got fired.
The whole
today,
thing.
So. Yeah.
They leaked the whole schedule.
Was it in order?
Beforehand.
Was it in order?
I guess I never went back to look, man.
Horrible.
Look, there was a lot of it, you know, NHL. Look, those series are continuing. Stanton homered twice. The Phillies did win despite Castellanos not getting the hit. We'll be right back here on the early one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a delightful Friday morning. The Miami Heat are on to the conference finals, led by what is right now the best player during this NBA postseason, Jimmy Butler, 32-8, four straight 30-plus point road playoff games for Jimmy Butler. Boy, this had to be tough for Sixers fans. I believe on the listed anniversary of Kawhi's bouncing in shot, Jimmy was, of course, on that Sixers team. They, of course, somehow allowed him to go to the Miami Heat. They've paid. Man, I love that he opened up the door for some Tobias Harris slander, who is probably the most overpaid and underslandered man in the entire sport. Here's the thing, though. The Sixers don't get to go first. That slander's coming, no doubt about it. But we must, and we must start, with praise of the Miami Heat, Nani. First team to advance to the conference finals. I mean, let's talk about it here. It's taken them long enough. Finally. Right? Finally, the FanDuel Sportsbook has said, okay, the Miami Heat are the favorites to win the Eastern Conference.
Yes, and I was wholeheartedly going to wake up today and check and be like, how about this? The Heat eliminated the Sixers, but yet the Sixers have better odds to win the Eastern Conference than they actually do. But obviously, they're a really good basketball team, and rightfully so. They've advanced. They're a +110 now to win the Eastern Conference. They're at home for the next round. And the one thing that we talk about, which some teams aren't following through on this, Kevin, when you have a chance to close a basketball team out, close them out so you can get rest and get ready. And some of these other teams should be heeding that advice and are not doing that. Case in point, last night we saw a couple teams, and also maybe tonight we'll see it. And we also saw it in Memphis with the Golden State Warriors. But if we look at this 99-90 game, I think we can hit this nail on the head. It technically wasn't a blowout. But what were we talking about yesterday on Moneyline right here on the grid, saying, you know what? If this game is really close, it's going to go over. But if it's not, this game is going to slow down to a crawl. 25-15 in the third quarter, where the Heat, I believe, had closed a 15-plus point lead. It felt like it was a wrap at that point, and it looked like the Heat just said, let's walk up the court, play some good defense, hit open shots. The Sixers don't have it tonight, and we took their heart on their home court, and that's exactly what happened there. Neither team hits 100 because the Miami Heat, Kevin, didn't even need to hit 100 to bust up the Sixers.
Jimmy Butler takes a three, right? Scores 89-72. Takes a three late in the shot clock and just out-hustles three Sixers because none of them cared. Got the rebound. 5 minutes left in the basketball game, which can be an eternity. Corner three. They're up 20. This score wasn't even this close, folks. It was 92-72 with 5 minutes left in the basketball game. Miami went on cruise control from then on out, and they were not punished for it. Because the 76ers didn't show up, and we know that. But also, The Miami Heat deserve credit. People spent all postseason, right, all first round, talking about this unbelievable Boston Celtics defense. They're very good. I'm not telling you they're not. But look at what the Miami Heat have done. Trae Young doesn't look like the same guy. We know that Embiid is hampered. I understand that. But he couldn't get off once. He couldn't get off once versus this Miami team. Harden is in witness protection program, and he might never come back from it. I mean, let's call it what it is. And again, people have asked, well, do they have a guy? Do they have a guy? Yes is the answer. And that guy is Jimmy Butler. They have a head coach advantage no matter who is set on the other side of that floor. And that's going to remain the case. And let's continue to break it down, too, because I know we're going to get to the Suns-Mavs game. But to put it into perspective, because you just alluded to it here, right? About actually closing out opportunities, right? The Miami Heat so far have played two games where they had the chance to close a series. They've won both. The Suns just got embarrassed by the Dallas Mavericks. The Golden State Warriors closeout situation. Embarrassed. Absolutely ran off the court by the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, and you can't tell me, oh, but they were on the road. Last night's game was in Philadelphia. The Miami Heat are going to remain disrespected in my eyes in these markets until everything is done. They sit and they wait for the winner of Bucks Celtics. The Sixers go home. Look, there's a lot here. There really is. Embiid is injured, and that has to be added to the equation when you evaluate this season. I understand that. But at some point, some folks are going to have to be held accountable for what was a series, what was a postseason, where there were still aspects of this basketball team that felt like Embiid and a bunch of guys. Tobias Harris had a game here or there, not a max guy. Tyrese Maxey had a game here or there, but he's young in this league and he's ascending. And Harden had, let's be honest, one game where he turned the clock back. And you might think that I've been hard on James Harden, but then what did Joel Embiid say in the post-game press conference? Obviously, everybody thought we were getting Houston Harden, but this is Joel Embiid. Obviously, he's not that guy anymore. Donnie, not my words. Joel Embiid's words. He's not that guy anymore.
I mean, maybe he's not that guy anymore, but you also have to take a look at this and use a litmus test and say, okay, the Miami Heat are very good on defense. They're going to shut down guards because if you try to just equate it, and this isn't letting James Harden off the hook, if you're a high-paid athlete, you're supposed to perform in the biggest moments. But if you look at Trae Young and what the Heat did to him, and let's just say Trae Young in the regular season, Kevin, 28 points per game. Trae Young in the two play-in games, 31 points per game. Trae Young versus the Miami Heat, 15 points per game. They just have that recipe. If you're a guard, you're not beating us here. You better have an all-world big man like Joel Embiid who's completely healthy because that's the way you can do damage. Maybe it's just the Heat are that good. And I'm interested to see if they – now, the one series I would like, if it's going to be the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks, that's a lot of fun. But quite honestly, I would love to see if it's the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat go toe-to-toe with each other. Because I would love to see a guy like Jason Tatum, who pretty much does what he wants when he feels like it on the court. Now, we know he does have some off nights with efficiency, but is this one of those where Jason Tatum averages 26 points in the playoffs, then, as Kevin likes to say, rocks up with the Miami Heat and scores 16 a game? Maybe there's something to that. And I'm not taking James Harden. You have to be better. You can't show up on your home court. At least go down swinging. At least if they're blocking your shots and you can't get to the rim, I don't care. I'm forcing it. I'm going to shoot 25 times here to show these people I'm trying my best. Maybe it's just not good enough. But the simple fact of the matter is the Miami Heat dismantled a guy who goes off just about every night in Trae Young, and then they focused all their attention once Embiid got hurt on James Harden, saying, just don't let this guy beat him. Just keep the ball out of his hands, and the Sixers can't run an offense effectively, and it turned out to be right.
Harden took 9 shots, 0 free throws. He has been disengaged for what feels like months. You can't forgive what he's done here. Donnie, he played 43 minutes. Again, yes, praise the Miami Heat for what they bring to the table, and they are deserving of every single bit of that. We've all watched James Harden play. He takes a step back as far as the eye can see and gets off threes. He doesn't want to do it anymore. I mean, I get it. The first step's not there. He doesn't need a first step to jump backwards and shoot a three. He seems completely disengaged. completely. The Tobias Harris stuff, listen, Jimmy Butler's screaming Tobias over me. Obviously, he's right. Obviously, Tobias, no, nobody, like, people are more likely to call up Philly Radio, as you like to reference, and be upset that Tyrese Maxey was a minus 24 before anybody even cares that Tobias Harris is on this basketball team. I mean, that's just the truth. It's great work if you can get it, right? It's Blue Mountain State backup quarterback. It's the best job in the world. No expectations, superstar money. But and we can get to some of this on the other side because there's a lot here with this 76ers team. Glenn, Doc Rivers, listen, he is simply overrated and last year saw an opportunity. And you know what? I guess good for him. He saw an opportunity to blame the entire thing on Ben Simmons, despite the fact that Doc blows series leads at a historic level. 76ers fans lapped it up. Oh my God, this is great. They attacked Ben Simmons day after day after day. And Doc stayed, and what'd you get for it? One series win, round two elimination. Is this Ben's fault too? I don't think so. We'll be right back here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now we're back right here on the grid. And there's still a lot to get to. Don't get me wrong. But this 76ers season, here's the great thing about when the Sixers season comes to a close. They make sure that they give you a lot to talk about. Like, if we really had to, we could do the whole show on post-game press conferences here.
Can't do
it. But I got to tell you something, DRS. I got to tell you something. No, we can't. We get in a lot of trouble. Yes. Joel Embiid. Can't believe we let Jimmy Butler leave. Jimmy Butler. I love him. I wish I was still on his team. I got to tell you, and I'm not trying to stir the pot. It's an honest suggestion. I mean, we always try and figure out who's the next great superstar to ask out. I mean, we think Joel Embiid's had enough here. The Philadelphia 76ers and Doc Rivers and, I mean, James Harden. I mean, could you see a world, Donnie, where Embiid presses the button and says, I got to go?
No, because Philadelphia's his city. And sports athletes, you know, they have big egos. You don't want to go to another city and be like, oh, it's Jimmy Butler City or this is Miami. Philadelphia is Joel Embiid's city. He's going to stay in Philadelphia. At least that's the way it should plan out. But it is kind of interesting where two guys who obviously really liked playing with each other, hey, man, and even Jimmy Butler. Talk about Jimmy Butler's end of this year where he gets the microphone in front of his face. And if I'm a Miami Heat fan, I'm like, now hold on now, Jimmy. Like, this is supposed to be like, yeah, if I was here in Philly and I love Miami way better at this point. This is about 30 seconds. I was like, where's this going here right now? Where Jimmy Butler goes, you know what? After the season, I'm going to try to get back and play with Philly in Philadelphia. It really felt like he was about to go there, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Now, he snuck in like an I love the Miami Heat thing. But like, yes. I'm telling you, like Don, I swear, like every, like, 2 months, like, he'll try and recruit Embiid to Miami on Instagram, like, in the comments. Like, that, like they really, you know, it is bizarre. Right? Because not all star players like one another. Donovan Mitchell, no. Rudy Gobert, right? Like, Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid true, like, loved one another, loved playing together, and they ended up just not being able to make it work, you know? I guess him and Ben didn't work. They made the decision to stick with Ben, and obviously it has not paid off for the 76ers. And the thing is, right, you jump in a time machine, be like, yeah, hey, but they're going to end up with James Harden. And I got to tell you, I loved the Harden press conference right away, right? Hey, man, you think you're going to stay in Philadelphia? Oh, absolutely. What else is he going to do? I mean, who else is paying this guy all this money, Donnie? I ask you this honestly. Any reservations about giving James Harden max money? I mean, 11 points in a closeout game, took 9 shots, didn't even want to be there. Any reservations?
I mean, technically, you probably don't want to, but then again, I don't want to pay anybody $250 million for 5 years in the NBA. I just would not want to do that. But at the same time, where are the Sixers going? This is your best option. He's going to be a very good regular season basketball player and give you 20 and 10s next year. You're going to win 50-plus games with James Harden and Joel Embiid as long as they stay somewhat healthy. You're probably going to be a top 4 seed in the East. Let me tell you something. You get rid of James Harden. You know what that goes to Joel Embiid? What, are you going to pick up a couple bench players for that guy? And what happens if he struggles next year? And this was one of his healthiest years until the playoffs. Are we looking at a 40-win team? Not 40 wins, but in the 40s in that range and not a 50-win team? You have no choice if you're the Philadelphia 76ers that James Harden does get right. And maybe it's just an anomaly where you played the Heat and they're awesome on defense. So it's a tough look now. But for a regular season next year, they need James Harden to be on their team. Otherwise, they're just an afterthought.
Yeah, no, so the reality is they don't have a choice. They do have to pay James Harden.
Yeah, but they do.
They need to figure out some contract incentives. Because, if he's just bad, he's bad. But there are a lot of people that think that Harden, there was the reports that KD could not believe the shape James Harden showed up. Listen, that can't happen. We cannot next year, Donnie, in December, be saying, do we think Harden's worked himself into game shape because he spent all summer out there getting after it, man. I get it. Enjoy your summer. I don't need workout videos posted. That can't be. You're trying to be a superstar. Harden's one of those guys, man, where the postseason's eluded him. They had a couple really good cracks at it in Houston, really good cracks. The Brooklyn thing ended way quicker than people would have thought here. But, guy's 32. Are we really talking to this guy on the back end of his career? It's a super, super, super interesting offseason coming in Philadelphia. Oh, last one here. Doc, in or out?
Out.
Yeah.
Out. And he'll play it off as his choosing, right? Well, this morning in Philadelphia, he's on the phone with his agent doing what? Make that phone call over to the Buss family. Let me see if I can get back in on the Lakers here. And then I'll leave hey, what do you want me to do in Philadelphia? Took them as far as they could go. Now I'm here with the Lakers, and this is what I'm concentrating on. And then lose another 3-1 series out there in L.A. probably. But that's the way I feel with him because you saw him at the press conference last night. What do you want me to do? I'm a great coach. I put in a lot of work here. I'll be here. He makes a lot of money, so it's hard just to fire him. But at the same time, I think the Sixers deep down may be hoping that, hey, Doc has eyes somewhere else, and they would like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got mutual parting ways written all over it. I think Doc Rivers is looking in Los Angeles at that Lakers job. Why wouldn't you, right, if you can try and latch on to LeBron there? LeBron apparently doesn't have say. It's up to Phil Jackson, so text him. I hope LeBron asks out. Again, a clown organization right now. As far as replacements go, it's tough to say early doors, but I agree with Donnie. I'd expect that Doc Rivers has coached his last game in Philadelphia. We move to the night game. 113-86. The Dallas Mavericks beat the Phoenix Suns. I don't want to take away anything from Dallas. Luka Doncic, one of the best players in the NBA. We've seen that this team on the defensive side of the ball, that's basically Luka's second superstar, right? Is the Mavericks defense. It's stepped up once again. But the story to me is the Phoenix Suns now. Because, right, round number one went way longer than we would have thought, but we chucked that up to Devin Booker's injury. Now we are here in a game 7, winner take all. The Phoenix Suns are, it's not translated to the postseason, Donnie. I mean, it was, they rolled everybody. They won all the time. It's not translated to the postseason. Maybe last year because they played only injured teams last year and everybody tried to act like that wasn't the case. Maybe there's something here. Maybe they don't translate to the postseason as well. I get it. I still think they're going to win the series here. But what we saw from them in the regular season, they've already lost more playoff games through two rounds than you would have anticipated, I would say.
No, and you're right here because when you have a championship pedigree team, right, they made it to the NBA Finals last year, didn't win it, but you have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, you dominated in the regular season, and now you come up in a series where you can put this team away and you don't show up. It's kind of interesting, and maybe it's just the Western Conference, Kevin, because you have a team that does have a championship pedigree, multiple championships in the Warriors, where they go on the road in a closeout situation and get crushed in that game. So I don't know what's going around here in the waters of the Western Conference where, you play a home game, it's just an easy victory, you go on the road and you get smoked. But you are right here. There is something to this. And I know yesterday we were talking about breaking this game down. What do you expect? You see the Chris Paul 16.5 and you say to yourself as a points prop, this has to end soon. Meaning we need to get vintage Chris Paul back. Mm-hmm. We need to get killer Chris Paul back where he's got 13 points entering the third quarter, ends up with 26 because he hit 5 straight elbow jumpers just to take your heart in that fourth quarter. We didn't get it again. 7 shot attempts overall for Chris Paul. Oh, but he had a huge assist night, Kevin. He had 4 assists. This is a guy that in a regular season, you pencil in for double, like a double-double out of Chris Paul, one of the surest things you could probably get. 14 points, 13 assists on a bad night here. And when you get good Chris Paul, he gets into the 20s, but still has double-digit assists. I don't know what's going on in that situation. Now, they don't report that much in the playoffs unless you want to be hurt. Like, hey, he's really hamstrings bother him, his knees bother him. He does have a hand injury. That's the only thing I'm trying to surmise here, because this isn't the Chris Paul. This isn't the backcourt that we expected here out of the Phoenix Suns, that even when Chris Paul was missing time, Devin Booker was missing time, this was still a dominant team. Not so dominant anymore.
And let me just emphasize the assist thing with Chris Paul here. While I understand that assists can be related to the players around you, obviously, the first 26 games of his Phoenix Suns postseason career, all 20 last year, and then the first six versus New Orleans, he had at least 5 assists in every single one of the games. In 3 out of the 6, half of the games in this series, he's had 4 or less. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's a total anomaly from what we've expected from Chris Paul. Go through the game logs here now for CP3, right? Game number 2, he had 28. And it's not been the same, whether it's been fouling out, whether he didn't take a lot of shots last game. The Chris Paul stuff's a little odd. Devin Booker at times rocks up with an inefficient performance. We've seen that. Listen, nobody's immune to it. I mean, it's not as if Luka Doncic was dripping inefficiency on the other side of the floor as is, right? So that's not what it all comes down to here. But as somebody that has kind of banged the table, right, that the Phoenix Suns, are going to be favored over the Golden State Warriors in a series. Well, I think that is still true. I don't know if the Phoenix Suns are going to get there. I know this is rotated home and away, home and away, home and away. We're going to actually preview Phoenix-Dallas game number 7 before we get out of here in hour number 2 because, just obviously we're not going to be here, before that game. We'll talk about it a little bit here. But it's one of those things where, you had to rank how impressed you've been by every team during the postseason here. I mean, are the Phoenix Suns top 3? I don't think they are for me.
No, because of performances like you just showed in a closeout game. And you're right about talking about these future games. You want to get into the mind of a handicapper that's just going to look at statistics and not really take into what his eyes are telling him. But if you're just that common fan sitting back, I want to lay a wager down. And you see these spreads coming up. Now, hold on. Golden State's minus 8.5. They just got destroyed by like 50 points in their last game. And you say, okay, how about the Dallas Mavericks? Man, they look really good. What's that spread? 2-3? No, it's 6. You want to talk about doing some mental gymnastics on trying to get over what you just saw? Welcome into the handicapping field, because those spreads, they're going to jumble your mind.
Yeah, some incredible stuff here. We'll button this up. I want to give Dallas their due. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL schedule release. It comes with some lines, some fun stuff to take a look at there, some week one action, get a sense of the primetime games as well. All coming up right here on the Early Line. You are watching and listening all across the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM, Channel 159, and Sports Grid Radio. We will be right back here. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the NBA recap here, I just want to give Dallas a credit, man, because as much as the Suns, listen, and we've talked about this with Donnie and I, where we've, I think, both thought Phoenix would win the series, but we have not viewed Dallas, right, as Cinderella, I can't believe they're here. It's the nature of this series. But I will say this, the Dallas Mavericks, if they advance out of this, I don't think, are people still thinking that that's just going to be some massive win for the Golden State Warriors, some massive, like, walk in the park? Like, again, if you're the Dubs, right, would you prefer to play the Dallas? Yes, because you get home court advantage. And so that's an easy answer there, ultimately, right? But the Dallas Mavericks are a team, right? Unlike, say, the Utah Jazz, that team has title equity. Like, they're 21-1 to win the NBA championship. You want to go over, like, they're plus 750. They're plus 750 to win the West. That's too far gone. That number says that they have no chance to basically win Game 7. I don't think that's accurate. Or it suggests they have no chance to beat the Golden State Warriors. I don't think that is accurate either. Dallas has shown they can go on a real run.
No, and they can, which is interesting because you saw the – and this is the playoffs starting out with Luka Doncic. We don't know if he's coming back for the playoffs. And here they are on the cusp of a Game 7 against the Phoenix Suns with a chance to get to the Western Conference Finals. But I think you're right here because if you're looking from the hill getting up to it, right, first round, they're probably not going to beat Utah because they're going to be too injured here. They lose the Game 1. Like, yeah, that's what we expected. They won't even make it past. Then they do say, oh, well, Phoenix Suns, well, that's nice. They got a nice little prize for winning Round 1. They made it to Round 2. Congratulations. And here they are in a Game 7. And quite frankly, if they win Game 7, the same thought process is going to go around. Well, and they'd be Phoenix, but you're not going to beat the Warriors now. And if they beat the Warriors, it'll be like, oh, man, that's a really nice season. What a Cinderella story as they're in the NBA Finals. And now you get to play, let's just say, the Miami Heat or the Milwaukee Bucks. And, yeah, they won't win that game either, that series, as it is. But I keep telling you this. I don't understand. Like, the Dallas Mavericks in the offseason, if they could somehow pull some strings here, and I mean a legitimate, Kevin, number two on this team, watch out. Watch out, because Luka right now by himself is almost good enough or might be good enough to get to the Western Conference Finals. That's incredible.
I mean, look, it's LeBron-esque. It's okay to say. It's what it is. I mean, you know, he carries that workload there. And the stuff lines up. It was year four LeBron where he went to the title, played the San Antonio Spurs. Could it be the same thing for Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks? Ultimately, I don't think so. But it very well could. It very well could. This team right now, man, they have really, really shown that on the defensive side of the basketball here, they've got something clicking really well. But apparently, maybe it might only be in Dallas, so it could very well be coming to an end. The NFL schedule is released, right? So this is one of those things where I figure Donnie and I have a little fun here, talk about some games that catch our eye, right? I genuinely have a problem. Now, it's not with the schedule release, but it's with lines for a September 8th football game. The Los Angeles Rams, the defending Super Bowl champions, are going to open up against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I will say this, a bravo to them. That's an awesome, awesome opening game there. There's going to be a lot of anticipation, which is fantastic. You got to be kidding me that the Rams are a home dog. You have to be joking with this Buffalo Bills nonsense here, man. I mean, good. You want to book them as the favorites to win a Super Bowl? Is that wrong? Yes, but fine. You want to book them as the favorites to win the AFC? Is that wrong? Yes, but fine. Favorites on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions? You can't possibly defend this. You cannot possibly tell me that you agree that Buffalo should be favored in Los Angeles week number one.
Look, Buffalo's going to watch Los Angeles hang the or carry the trophy out to the field. They're going to watch the banner drop down. And you're going to know deep down inside that the Buffalo Bills, next year, 365 days later, they're going to be hanging a banner and they're going to be walking out the trophy up in Buffalo at this point. The facts matter here. And the fact is the sports books agree with most of us sane individuals that know how good, number one, the MVP at quarterback here, Josh Allen, who'll win that this year? And number two, they are rightfully in their place. They're on the road playing the defending Super Bowl champion who signed everybody under the sun this offseason, it felt like. And yet, we all know the better team, you guessed it, Kevin, Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean that's just a horrendous line. I mean, it's a horrendous line. The Rams should be a field goal favorite. What happened, Nani? Is it so early that they forgot how to book home field? Hold on a minute. You mean to tell me this game's in Buffalo? The Bills are 6 points?
Seven. Give me seven. I'll take it all day long. Cheap. I'll buy into it all summer long.
Yeah, right. I'd say this right now. Pick six contest is on a Friday. I got to find a way to sneak in the Rams. How about that for a money line dog with a little minus number next to their name there? Can I sneak that
Don't
in?
Cut me off.
Does that count? What do you mean? Well, who cut you off? I didn't hear
I don't know.
Talking.
My screen was frozen for good. Don't you pay attention to me over here? My screen's frozen for like 5 seconds here. You're probably rambling on here. Don't slander my Buffalo Bills and don't try to
wait
kick
a minute.
Me off
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait. So you were talking, but you got frozen. I mean, I just picked up the pieces. It was a good entry point for me.
No, I think I People was actually done. Then the screen froze. But my favorite thing is it freezes for about 5 seconds and then hits you up and fast forward like and brings us right back up. So pretty good stuff.
You should probably use that line more. Don't you cut me off here. Even if I'm not cutting you off,
exactly.
I like that move out of you. That's a solid
move. Are we live? Are we live?
Move,
hello.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit you with one of those. When you're going through one of your big rants, are we still here? Did he get cut off? That's what I'm going to do to you.
Just in the heat of it, you'd be like, wait, what? Huh?
I don't understand. Huh, repeat that for me.
Brian, talk to me in my ear. Are we still live on the air right now? Yes, I will say that
if
for you.
If my producer, live in New Jersey, could get in my ear. Now, DRS.
Or maybe have an airport beer, one of those things. You could do all that.
Listen, out with the boys. Wedding season's in full effect, man. Oh, man. Listen, them days off ain't going to use themselves. Now, Donnie, what else catches your eye here, man? What else catches your eye when we're talking? Let's talk. We'll do week one.
Yeah.
What else week one caught your eye here from the NFL schedule release, you know, when we're looking at lining up some lines?
A couple of interesting games, too, that are a lot of fun to watch. Like, take a look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. That's a nice way to sort of wind down the week. I believe it's Sunday Night Football, 8:20. Dallas Cowboys getting 2.5 from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That one should be interesting. And also, how about this? If you don't think that the Green Bay Packers moving on from one of the best players in the NFL, and everybody said how awesome, what an unbelievable draft they had, but didn't really get anybody to help out Aaron Rodgers, quite frankly, on day one. Take a look at them, Kevin. Only favored by 1.5 here over the Minnesota Vikings. And also, the Philadelphia Eagles, pretty strong number going on the road. I know it's Detroit, but opening day on the road favored by more than a field goal, which sits at 4.5. I thought that was pretty interesting as well here.
I tell you, the one that really caught my attention, like if you're in the room, right, you're like, listen, please don't make me book this game right now. Please. It's Panthers-Browns. What? Now, if that's Jacoby Brissett, I mean, come on now, laying 4 on the road, even if Carolina has no idea what they're doing over there, honestly. Right? But, like, am I crazy here? Like, that's – I would just rather not book the game is really my point. And, like, that 43, I don't know. Like, if that's Jacoby Brissett, are the Panthers favored in the football game?
I don't know if the Panthers would be favored because the Cleveland Browns are pretty talented coming in. But I got to tell you, that line is specifically for, I believe, Deshaun Watson is going to be the starting quarterback, and they anticipate that being week one. But also interesting here, because I'm glad you brought that game up, those little you know tidbits that you get and you read into. I believe there's some legal processes going on here with Deshaun Watson. And I was, correct me if I'm wrong or if anybody's even heard out there, that he is going to go through that process, and it looks like nothing is really going to happen or be legal until after the season again. So there's a really good chance here that Deshaun Watson's going to get all 17 weeks if he's healthy with the Cleveland Browns this year.
Now, the side to this is the Panthers have a – listen, Sam Darnold's terrible. You're not going to start Matt Corral. They have a duty to go out there and acquire Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's game of the week all of a sudden. You give me Baker versus the Browns week one. You just got it. Yeah, no, 100%. You got to make that happen. You got to make that happen. And I'll tell you this, there's going to be a lot of folks that are going to line it up on Carolina if you do that. There's going to be a lot of folks that get excited to back
Sharp
Baker
angles.
Versus the old team. He beats, now, Donnie, imagine the scenes. He beats the Cleveland Browns with the Carolina Panthers week one. They might retire his jersey in Carolina. Oh, that would be good. That would be glorious.
Would they plant the flag? Would he plant a flag at midfield on his own home field? Would he do that, Baker Mayfield?
He might just there. Look, they've also got the Monday. I like the pettiness here. I feel like a little bit from some of these games here. How about they send Russ back to Seattle Monday Night Football? I like that, Donnie. That's exciting stuff. That's what you're supposed to do.
That is what you're supposed to do, and the NFL does that very well. And I got to tell you right now, is that cheap? Is that 4.5 cheap here? You're talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Outside of their 19 running backs, I don't know what they're going to do here defensively, offensively. Yeah, great. You got DK Metcalf. Who's throwing him the football? It looks like if the Broncos are one of those teams that you're lining up to possibly win the AFC West and the AFC together, they ain't going to have a 23-20 win opening night in Seattle, right? Yeah, it feels like they're going to open. We're here for 2022 and blow that team out.
Why? Well, and I got to say, like, because Denver feels like, from a scoring perspective, right? Like, you do a little math here, like, on a team total, like, it's probably 24.5. Like, can I get 23.5 for a Denver Broncos team total? I mean, that's all day. If they don't score 24 against that Seattle D.
Like, Russ is throwing 4 touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm pretty sure that Pete Carroll's not coaching. Hey, Russ, big game tonight. You're going to go back to your former team. We're going to hand the football off inside the 10 every single time just so you don't throw a touchdown. He's going to throw that ball 40 times in that game, 325 yards, 4 touchdowns. They blow the Seahawks out.
What 100%. What, like, listen, and as maybe Seattle shows up to the party, but just the expectations around the Denver offense in that game feels very light. Sunday Night Football opens up with Dallas and Tampa. To see Dallas as the home dog, it's going to sound silly, but like, is that to you more of an indicator of how much they respect Tampa or how Dallas has been downgraded throughout the offseason?
I think Dallas a little bit of a downgrade, but also Tampa Bay bringing basically everybody back, making a run here and see if they can win another Super Bowl with Tom Brady. But also, you know, you keep in mind, we saw like was last year, opening night, Dallas going to get smoked by Tampa Bay. Ooh, they're going to catch a beatdown in this one. They should have won that football game. So you do have to take a lot of this with a grain of salt. Week one has a lot of swings where you're going to see some of these teams. Boy, I thought they were way better, or boy, I didn't think they were as good. Because the question last year coming into that same game was, boy, I don't know if Dak's ready to go. Had a couple setbacks in camp, too. Wow, Dak is on it already week one.
Yeah, I agree. I think, though, like Tampa's kind of earned that for me. Right, I still think the Bucs genuinely should probably be the Super Bowl favorites, factoring in that they're an NFC team and it's just the easier pathway there. I've asked a number of Cowboys fans, people that follow that, what is your best move this offseason? I mean, listen, that and there's not a long list of things that they offer up as an answer there. It was just, listen, I guess the best thing they did was Dak is still on the team. Like, not that that was like a question, you know what I mean? Like, it's just not been a... I get, like, someone told me they didn't overpay Randy Gregory, even though they tried to pay Randy Gregory. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not been that caliber of an offseason there for the Dallas Cowboys. I'll tell you this, because we're coming up against the break. Here's what we're going to do. We'll make some predictions for you, all right? Week one lines here, right? Who is going to be the most public team? Because there is one, and it just jumps right off of the page. It is going to be bet by everybody, and it might even include me. I might be right there with you. We'll be back here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on a Friday morning, talking a little NFL here. DRS, in my opinion, what feels like, tell me I'm wrong, going to be the most popular favorite on the board has to be -1.5 on the road, the Green Bay Packers, right? Like, isn't everyone going to still trust Aaron Rodgers against the Minnesota Vikings? Or am I crazy here and people are going to be lining up to fade Rodgers and his lack of weaponry?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe new coach for the Vikings, new season, and we can probably anticipate everybody getting to the starting gate healthy. You know, Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a spot because, quite frankly, Green Bay has struggled at times going to Minnesota. That crowd will be ready. They'll be excited for that one. Might be one of those trap games, as we like to say, Kevin.
Look, I'm not saying that who knows what you're going to do right by the time we get to September there, but I feel like a lot of people are going to back the Packers. If people aren't, though, that would be kind of the indication even then now that people have lost faith there. And I'll tell you what's interesting about those two playing to open up the season is in the same way, Donnie, we've talked about how the NBA playoff futures move after each and every single game, right? Mm-hmm. Super Bowl odds, conference odds, maybe not as much. But divisional odds are very much so impacted after divisional games. Like Green Bay is -170 and the Vikings are +280. Minnesota wins that game, Green Bay probably goes to like even money if I had to guess there, right? Down to win the division.
Yeah, wild swings in the beginning of the season make a lot of sense. And also, you get a leg up, which means if you can beat Green Bay again, that's a full, like, two-game lead that you would have just in the division alone. But I agree with you on that because also, you're playing barometer, right? What happens if the Vikings go out and pace them 34-17? Then it gets even worse. Like, oh, we told you, Green Bay wasn't very good. So that plays into it as well.
Yeah, like, if they just can't score, that's a really, really – meanwhile, Rodgers goes out there, 4 touchdowns, and it's just like, here we go again. With this guy and the MVP and all those different things, man. Look, we're excited. It's going to continue to ramp up. You know how the NFL does. They bully their way in there. But we're taking a break. We're coming back. We're talking to Major League Baseball. Hour number 2 of the Early Line is live.